Hello and welcome.
What?
That's ruined my start. You've messed it up.
Hello. We still got off the air here. Oh, there. Now we're live.
Oh, now you've ruined it as well.
What a perfect start.
You've all ruined it. Okay, I've got it. Hello and welcome to Burkamp Wonderland, a World Cup special, episode number 4. We've only got one more left. With me this afternoon, it's 6:36 p.m. in the UK. First of all, it's Lana, who is a France fan living in, I don't know, are we allowed to say where you live, Lana, or is it best that we don't, for secret reasons?
For secret reasons. I like to be mysterious anyway.
It's mysterious Lana. We're not telling you where she is. Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you.
Next up, we have from sunny Croatia, and it is sunny because they nicked all the coastline. It's only Mr. Herman. How are you, mate? Are you all right?
Nice to be alive. Hello from... very, very happy Croatia.
Yeah. Well, that's not surprising, really, because you are magnificent. And then I don't even know what country you're... What country are you supporting, Jeff?
I have been supporting France this World Cup. But it's a win-win for me because I drew Croatia in the ABW.
Did you?
Yeah. So I got Croatia in that. And then in all my pools, I've been supporting France. So it's kind of a win-win for me.
You've been spending too much time on that bloody carpenter, haven't you?
Yeah, he's rubbed off on me.
Dirty boy. He'll rub off on anything you can get a chance to, knowing him. Can you hear us now, Lana? Because you were breaking up a little bit there a minute ago.
Sorry, I was always making fun of English Wi-Fi, but the Swedish one was even worse. But it's all good now.
Lovely. Right, we're going to go and say hello to a few people in the chat. But Archie and Michael have been there for what seems like about half a lifetime. The heat just doesn't... Oh, I love the weather. Archie's saying it's a bit sweaty. Who else we got in the K-Man? Hello, K-Man, you're right. He's got the notification. He clicked the little bell and he got a notification and it works. Technology, he says, wow. Christian Andresen, he is saying good luck to Croatia. Alan Cracker says hello. And that's it. That's all. We don't expect many people to be watching this one live because of the time and because we're... it's the World Cup, and most people have given up by now. Oh, Thomas from Norway says hello. Sean's mate stayed over from uni, and his dad has just moved from England to Norway. And I mentioned you, Thomas. I said, we've got someone who listens from Norway. And his wife is there. Yeah, his wife is Norwegian. So his poor old Cam has been abandoned by his dad. Never mind. MY is there. Hello. And Mr. Kennedy. Ah, yes. Righto. So, first of all, we said hello to everybody. The first game we're going to talk about is France v Belgium. And as we have two France supporters here, Lana, what was your thoughts on the game?
Oh, I was nervous. I was really, really nervous because I felt this was the biggest test compared to Argentina and Uruguay because I aspire to play like Belgium. Well, I want France to aspire to play because I think they play really nice football. So for me to see that they went the Italian route by defending brilliantly and then scoring and winning 1-0, it was just, it was beautiful in many ways and reminded me of Juventus. So I was really, really happy. And of course, the fact that Umtiti scored just was, I started crying. And then I cried a lot more. And then I called my dad and cried even more.
Oh, well, I nearly cried because I only that night I added him into my fantasy football team and I made him captain. Oh, woof. So there you go. Fantastic. Jeff, what was your thoughts on the game? Because now that you've adopted France and only just broke the news to me.
I think I've said it before in the WhatsApp group. Maybe I haven't. Anyways,
you told me in the WhatsApp group that you'll be on today and I didn't even read that. It's usually Chris naked. I have to ignore them. Yeah, so what do you think about the game?
I've got to agree. I think France played an amazing game of football. I wasn't sure who was going to come through that game. I think in the early stages, what I was watching for was for any sort of signs of nervousness or shyness. And in particular, watching Hazard and Mbappe, because I think those two have the ability to really influence the game in a positive way. And both of them were looking really good, but it was France that really grew into the game the more that you watched it. Tactically bringing Matuidi in or back from suspension. I mean, I think he was always going to do that. But Matuidi had an excellent game. And I think also what really helped France was the absence of Meunier. I thought that bringing Dembele in, while it looks good on paper, I thought he didn't have a good game. He wasn't off to the races. And they were able to neutralize a lot of the balls into Lukaku. So for me, it was a joy to watch. It was a very good tactical game to watch. The way France adapted when Belgium started to come into the game, particularly in the second half, sort of thinking around when Dries Mertens came in to sort of open up the field and get some width. Hernandez adapted very quickly to that substitution. And for me, they had an excellent game. I think 1-0 for France doesn't do them justice to how they played. I think if Giroud's got his shooting boots on, he had a couple gilt-edged chances. It could have been 2 or 3. They had a really excellent game. Man down to a man. Awesome game to watch. And I think that they've got to be a favorite going into the final. But finals are tricky. As we saw 2 years ago in the Euros, I would have favored France to beat Portugal in that. And Croatia, I know we'll come on to them in a second with Herman. They've really impressed me this tournament. So it's going to be just a fantastic, fantastic final.
Talking of Herman, did you watch this game?
Yes. So Lana was crying. Danny was crying. So Jeff probably skipped crying as I did. To be honest, I was expecting Belgium to go through because I was impressed. I'm still impressed with the abilities of their, let's say, front row with Hazard, Lukaku. I'm blocked. Who's the third guy? Who's the third dangerous guy? De Bruyne. Yeah. His goal against Brazil was really, really impressive. And I was expecting that Belgium will score at least one. That didn't happen, and this gives a big credit to France defense. They scored one goal, interesting goal for me because I think it showed how important in set pieces is to have a great timing. Umtiti is not a tall defender; he was, I think, next to Fellaini, who is like 4 inches taller than him. But he was perfectly timed. He scored a header that decided everything and took France to the final. And that is impressive. I'm a bit sad because Belgium lost, but I hope they can get the bronze medal.
So have you seen anything that that is worrying you when it comes to playing them in the final? And do you think your manager will have to adapt your tactics to suit playing against France? Because Belgium, after a little while, they start to get quite foully and they were doing that. It's quite aggressive. I didn't enjoy the game. The purists in one of our WhatsApp groups saying it's one of the best games of the World Cup. I was bored because I want goals. I'm just a tart when it comes to football. I want goals. I don't really care about anything else. And I was getting a bit bored. But even I could see at times that some of the play was really good. So, what do you think Croatia are going to have to do to get in the final to try and make sure they don't lose?
Well, to be honest, after the Croatia match ended, I was thinking that the chances of Croatia winning are like 20%.
No, but now,
as the days are passing by, this percentage is increasing. So right now I'm on 40%. We will see what will happen.
I'm on 60 for you guys.
You don't want it to win the World Cup, Lana.
I am always very negative when it comes to football because, well, in general, when it comes to life, I am more pessimistic because that means I'll get less disappointed when it doesn't go my way. Which it hasn't in the last finals my club and national team has been in. So I'm like, people talk about how Croatia are going to be so tired. They've technically played one extra game more than anyone else, but it's that mentality in the, you know, they're so resilient, and Mandzukic is such a huge worry for me because I'm scared he can just pop up and, you know, score a header like he did against England. And it's that kind of mentality that you see in, you know, the likes of Juventus, who can just be so bad and come up with a 3-2 win like they did against Inter, for instance. So I'm just like really worried. The one thing I'm positive about is the fact that Mbappe has had more days to rest, and I haven't seen anyone be able to stop him so far. So,
Well, I have to mention, I was taking a lot of analysis on the lines, defense, midfield, and attack. I think that both Croatia and France have attacked that can cause problems to the opponent's defense. Of course, Mbappe, Griezmann, and Giroud can cause problems for Croatian defense.
And the bench as well. You have the likes of Dembele and Fekir easily that can come on. My biggest concern is the fact that Croatia is far superior in midfield than France's.
Yeah,
but we have a better defense.
Croatian attack can cause problems to France's defense because I think the Pavard and Hernandez on the flanks are not so experienced players, and we have Rebic that is very physical, strong player on one wing, and Perisic on the other wing with Mandžukić in front. It can cause problems. I think Varane and Umtiti are world-class players, but they can make mistakes. Then Croatian defense also have some weak links, and I'm not going to mention and talk about this.
But Lovren is apparently the best, one of the best, you know, defenders in the world now.
Yeah, according to him, yeah. But you have to admire his confidence, and when he wins so many
games. Reminds me of Benzema and Zlatan.
Yeah, and it will all end up in midfield. So Matuidi, Kante, and Pogba against Modric, Rakitic, and Brozovic. This will be a really hard battle, and I'm not sure which of those three on each side is better. I'm
yours, no, without a doubt. I think the weakest link in our midfield, sadly enough, is Pogba. But if he plays the way he played in the last game, because I thought he was really good against Belgium, the fact that he doesn't, you know, show up with his flashy style, and if he just keeps it simple, if he shows up the same way he did against Belgium in the final, I think that we're going to be solid. Because I think that Kante, which I despise, don't like at all, actually had a really good game. And Matuidi just works his ass off. And people questioning why he starts as a left winger. But it's obvious that you need someone like him. Because he runs and runs. It's like the man has, what, 5 lungs?
That's very true. Yeah. What else I was going to say is someone's put in the chat box, Herman. He says, Archie says, Danny, tell Hrvoje it's a crime not to give Modric the Ballon d'Or, best midfielder on the planet. Yeah, he is pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he won Champions League this year. Again, if Croatia loses this game, I think that he will be a pretty good candidate to be first after Ronaldo and Messi era.
Yes. Having heard what those two have said about the game, has that given you any thoughts or inspiration to say something that the listeners might want to hear? Please say yes.
Yes.
Oh.
No, I was just going to come on to what Lana was saying about Pogba. I think you could really make the statement across these two teams and say there's certainly players there. Giroud, I mentioned earlier, Pogba. It really depends on what player shows up and who's going to get carried away with the emotions of a final. I really liked the post-game interviews that Lovren and Modric did. It shows that they have a confidence in what they're doing. They seem to be together as a team. So I'm not underestimating Croatia, even though I will give France a slight edge in this. And Lana, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to curse any outcome here. But I mean, if they're together the way they are with that fighting spirit that we know that they have and that confidence level, I think that Croatia will really give them a game. There has been a lot said about the amount of time that they played, and certainly Modric himself, he looked gassed when they brought him off in extra time against England.
Mandžukić could barely walk.
Yeah, Mandžukić, he could barely walk, but... you know, if anything's going to get a player up for a game, it's a World Cup final. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So it's really hard to say in a one-off game, absolutely this team's going to win or this team's not going to show up. And so you get into these spaces. Going back to Pogba again, you know, he's the guy, he likes the social media, he likes to be in the spotlight. You never know if he's going to just get a little carried away with all the bells and whistles that come along with the world watching. I hope he plays simple, because when he plays simple, he's just so much more effective in that midfield. But then it's mouthwatering just wanting to see that midfield come up against Modric and Rakitic in particular, who have been absolutely superb this World Cup. So I think the one thing you can predict is that we're going to have a hell of a game on Sunday. I don't think it's going to be overly defensive. I think we're going to see two teams that are really going to go at each other. And I'm not sure if you guys would agree, but I'm really quite excited about it.
I'm terrified.
Remember, because
it's ours to lose. Croatia literally has no pressure. They're going to this with, you know, they've done so well, and all the pressure is on us.
Yeah.
Like, please don't pull a 2016. I'm just begging that no Croatia players get injured. Especially Modric, because if he goes off injured, I know Croatia will win. Just like Portugal when Ronaldo went off, I was like, yeah, well, we've lost the Euros.
I see.
But I think 2016 could work in France's favor, because they have that experience of playing in a major final. So it could go, I totally understand what you're saying, Lana, but it could also fall in their favor of dealing with the nerves, being ready to play, understanding what it takes to win a final. So it could work either way, and that could be a positive thing, that loss in 2016. I mean, I'm sure you'll be hoping so, but now we've got two major finals in 2 years for this French team. They've got to deliver. So there is pressure there, but like I said, they have that experience as well.
Yeah, this is a good point by Jeff. I think losing a final, playing in a final, is a really huge experience for French team. Croatian players are more experienced if you look at their age. I was thinking about the fact today that Luka Modric played four times in a Champions League final. He won all four matches.
Thank you.
So we are all hoping that his fifth match will also end up very well. And he even said today, I think, that he would change four Champions League trophies for this one trophy with Croatia. So I'm sure he will be motivated to succeed.
He can keep them and let us win the World Cup. That would be nice. He's won enough.
I've got a point here from one of the people in the chat box, Herman. It's this for you. Do you remember in our online Arsenal days, there was a bloke there called David Norris. He had a waffle as his, I think his name might have been Mr. Waffle. He says, Brozovic is an interesting cat. He looks like a bruiser, but moves like a ballerina. Do you rate Brozovic?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he broke the record of how many kilometers he ran in one match. It was, I think, about 16 kilometers against England. He is, like Lana said, for Matuidi, that he has three lungs. I think that Brozovic also has three lungs. He's running all the time. I was watching the analyzing of the match against England on Croatian television, and they showed the situation when he was pressing, I don't know, what was the order, but Lingard got the ball, Brozovic pressed on him, Lingard passed it to Henderson. He just continued running. He pressed three players in 10 seconds. And Modric and Rakitic are so good because they have Marcelo Brozovic behind their back, and he's a very, very important player, and he had a wonderful season, especially the spring part in Inter Milan. So he's a very, very important player for Croatia.
So talking about that game, Croatia beat England 2-1. England went 1-0 up with a Kieran Trippier free kick. It's his first ever goal for England. He's not really known for being a goal scorer. I was quite surprised that he even took the free kick. But there again, I don't watch Spurs play unless Arsenal beat them 5-1. And I was thinking, oh no, please, we cannot. I'm not going to let my prejudice against the Spurs player ruin it for England. But then, second half, you came back with Perisic scored the goal. And then Mandzukic, who I hate as a player. I hate him on FIFA. I hate looking at the bloke, but wow.
Why?
He's just an ugly bastard. That's so weird.
But you'd love to have that ugly bastard for
I'm off.
Team.
I'm off.
You are?
No, just kidding.
He's a cunt, no doubt about it. But he's our cunt. Like, he is so underrated. Probably one of the best big game players. He scores literally in every big game, in finals.
Yeah.
He just shows up. Like when he was fouled Like he, I think, I don't remember who it was that like just ran into him and he just like laid down and I was like, oh shit, they're gonna take him off. And he's like, hell no. He just got up, shaked it off, and then went on to score the winning goal. And then he was fouled again. He was like, okay, I'm out. I've done my work.
But yeah, true. It was interesting to see in the last minute of extra time, you could see Ivan Perisic, he had a cramp in his hamstring, but he was still running. He was using one hand to hold the hamstring, but he was still running and chasing the ball. And the euphoria, the chaos here in Croatia is indescribable, and these things are transferred to the players, and they will die for this win, I'm sure.
Right, so start from the beginning. The build up to the game. Were you hopeful that you? And of course, you were hopeful. Were you confident? How did you put it about the Argentina game? How did you have that hashtag?
Unrealistically optimistic.
Unrealistically optimistic. Did you feel about that about the Belgian game? And then tell us about the game and the and how you saw the game.
The England game. I thought that it was a 50-50 match. And in the first 60 minutes, Croatia was weak. It wasn't impressive. And they started to play. I'm delighted because it looked like that England players are tired and not Croatian, who played two extra times in the previous matches. Even Trippier got injured and he couldn't finish the match. But we all saw the goals and everybody's talking about this. I just want to highlight two things about this match. The situation when Šime Vrsaljko saved our goal. I don't know if you remember the situation. It was a corner and Stones took a header. Vrsaljko was in this bunch of players and he showed great intelligence. He saw that the ball is not coming to him and he started to go back to cover the goal. And the Stones hit it with the header right in this corner. He was there. He said Croatia. And he had a phenomenal World Cup so far. And I think it's not fair to blame Stones for the second goal of Croatia. If you look carefully again at this situation, Harry Maguire is the player that should be blamed for this goal, if you ask me. Because it happened like this. Pivaric, our left back, tried to make a cross in the box. And Maguire was glued to Mandžukić. He was holding him. He was right there. And as Walker blocked this this cross, ball went up in the air. And in this moment, Maguire gives up on Mandžukić, and he moves slightly left. And he even does this move on his haircut. He's thinking about other stuff, and this header, which Perisic won, was also crucial because Trippier, in this moment, he gives up on this aerial duel. He just tried to push Perisic with his hands, and Perisic does the incredible header, incredible assist, and Mandžukić wakes up in a second, like a snake, and he sneaks behind Stones and scores a goal. And you can see in the moment of celebration, you can see Stones spreading his arms towards Maguire and asking him what the fuck just happened. So it's not fair to blame Stones, although he has to be aware that attacker is near him. So these are the things that are not enough mentioned about this game, where everybody is talking about goals and everything. But this was
Maguire is a dickhead. I hate him so much. He just has such a cuntish face. Like, you just want to punch him and just smash his head in. Sorry.
Tell us how you really feel.
I hate him so much. Like, he's such a douchebag. Like, oh, I just want to throw a chair on him and stab him and then let him bleed out.
I'm so glad I went with video today.
Jeff, what was your thought? I'm going to come back to you in a minute, Herman. But Jeff, what was your thoughts on the game?
You know, I think Herman hit it on the head. England certainly looked like they were in the ascendancy in that first half. I think the players themselves even talked about it after the game. But watching the game tactically, something interesting that happened is that after England scored progressively as the half wore on, their fullbacks stopped getting forward. So they're effectively making themselves into a back five in Walker and Trippier and Maguire, Young and Stones. And I think what that allowed Croatia to do is to gradually start to play themselves into that game. And they clearly came out after halftime with a fire under them. And their quality in the midfield is better, much, much better. I think if you watch the highlight reel of Henderson in particular, he was giving the ball away and hitting it long far too many times. And so a team like Croatia with Modric and Rakitic in the midfield, the more they're on the ball, the better they're going to get. And they played well into that game. I tell you what, I've been really impressed this tournament with Veselko. He's been a terrific fullback for them. I mean, as an Arsenal fan, the only real time we've seen him is for what, 10, 15 minutes in that Europa League semifinal before he got his second yellow. So just the way they played into that game, I like what Herman said. They did look like they actually had more gas in the tank than England as that game played on. And to the point earlier around having experience, having gone through some extra times already, they definitely look like warriors and battlers. And England looked completely bereft of ideas the longer that game went on. In particular, and I'm an Arsenal fan, so I'm obviously biased, I thought Kane did absolutely nothing in that game. And I think it's a big disappointment that he should even be considered for the golden boot. But that's the way these things go. Dele Alli didn't have a very good game. Henderson, I talked about him as well. And then the defenders getting caught sleeping on both of Croatia's goals. Now, full credit to Croatia for scoring those goals. They did absolutely excellent. And the other thing I want to talk about, and we haven't really talked about it, maybe this is when we talk more about the final, is the contribution that Subasic has had to this Croatian team. He's been absolutely imperious in goal. I know in watching their quarterfinal game, and he was holding his hamstring late in as we approached the 90 minutes, there was a genuine fear that he might be done. And they were talking about bringing him off an extra time in that game. He showed no signs of that wear and tear and playing a full 120 minutes in the prior game. And it was absolutely terrific. So, I mean, well done, Croatia. I think in terms of England, I have a number of friends who are English fans, you know, guys on the pod. For me, because Canada isn't at a World Cup and they're not going to be at a World Cup until 2026 and we're going to go out in three games. I have a bit of a neutrality. I support whoever I like. And I've supported England in previous tournaments, but this tournament with so many Spurs players, it was just way too hard and way too hard to do. So England, I think, benefited from their draw. I think they benefited from their group. Panama, in particular, was absolutely piss poor. One of the worst teams I've ever seen at a World Cup, next to Canada in 1986, of course. and they've done everything that they needed to do to get where they were. I mean, you can only beat what's in front of you. So full credit to them for making a World Cup semifinal. But I think when you start to look at the next World Cups with more teams in them, I don't think that they're going to get a draw. I mean, it's highly unlikely that they get that good of a draw again. This could be one semifinal for the next 30 years. It's hard to imagine them getting much better than that. In the end of the day, I think Croatia, they're the better team. They fully deserve to win that game. That's about it. Over to you, Danny.
Yeah, I'm just looking at on.
Why is no one mentioning the Raheem Sterling?
What, when Kane didn't?
Who is that?
When they brought him off, it just like England just collapsed, in my opinion. For me, he's the one that, you know, links the attack and midfield. And he is so crucial to that England team. I think that he's been very underrated this campaign. We've heard so much about Kane and his, you know, stat padding and the penalty merchant bastard. And those defenders and how Pickford has been, you know, man of the match for every game, blah, blah, blah. But, like, no one's talking about Raheem Sterling and how crucial he is to England. I mean, is that because, what, he shops at Primark? He's not allowed to get raided?
I've heard people say good things about him. England were relying on his pace and his ability and his goal scoring. That I think they were hoping to get the Raheem Sterling, who's been magnificent for Man City for the first part of the Premier League season. But when you've got people like Dele Alli, who just turns up whenever he wants to and is a massively overrated player, we've seen in the Premier League that he's a one-season wonder. That he, I suppose, not last season, the one before that, he was magnificent. And part of the season before that, he was magnificent. And he's just not living up to it. And then what as we all know, what England really needed is a Modric or a Rakitic kind of player, maybe a Lampard or a Gerrard, someone who is going to be able to score goals and put the ball through to Sterling, and then they can make the most of Sterling's pace. And like Jeff was saying, Harry Kane, I mean, I'm just looking at the positions of the teams going in the World Cup. England beat Tunisia, 26th in the world, beat Panama, 49th in the world, lost to Belgium, who were 5th, drew to Colombia with a penalty, and they're 13th in the world, beat Sweden, who, I mean, Sweden is amazing. They'd gone as far as they did, and that was brilliant. They were 25th in the world, and they lost to Croatia, who were 18th. And then I can guarantee you they're going to lose to Belgium again at the weekend, because they were just big time Charlies, where they could only do it against the rubbish teams. And if England would have ended up beating Belgium and finishing the top of England's group, and then they'd been in that half of the World Cup draw, they wouldn't have got out of the second round, would they?
They would have played us. Yeah.
And then they would never have made it, because France are quite Premier League-ish for me at times, because they've got so many Premier League players. But it's just...
Do we?
Well, you've got Giroud, and that's all I'm worried about. And Pogba.
And, Pogba, Hugo Lloris, Kante. Yeah. The rest are Europe.
I do think that the French team do play a little bit like a Premiership team, where sometimes they can turn it on, like the 4-2 game. Was it 4-2 against Belgium? No, not Belgium, was
no,
it?
No, Argentina, 4-3?
Oh, what a game that was. And then I thought that they just look like a Premier League team. That's why I think I enjoy watching France play football. I know you probably don't. But anyway, this isn't about what I think. So, Herman, you sent me a WhatsApp video of all the Croatia fans going mad and being really polite and having a good time. There was no fighting. There was no throwing beer at each other. Did you take that video?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'll if you send it to me again, because I delete all my WhatsApps every day, so otherwise I'll end up with millions. I'll send it to Jeff and the other group I might have done. Jeff, did I send that to your group? Of all the Croatia fans celebrating?
So no meatballs thrown or jumping on beds or chairs or, you know.
Did I share it with Jeff?
No, I don't think he did.
It was really good, because we saw, again, if anybody doesn't know, go on YouTube and on Twitter and have a look for the fans' reaction after they beat Colombia. There was people fighting in the crowd. There's only a small majority of it, but even in my little village where we live, there's loads of shouty, screamy England fans smashing bottles, throwing stuff into the river, and just generally being arseholes. And that's the kind of thing that is just annoying me. And like, that's a lot of people are saying that most of these people don't even like football. They're just going out there, the stereotypical thing, English thing, of going out there, getting pissed off and making a fool of themselves. And I saw Herman's video, and it was almost a thing of beauty. And I thought, that's a really nice atmosphere. You're not worried that you're going to get bottled. And like, there's that poor woman who was in the news. Someone threw a bottle at her and split all the way across the top of her eyebrow and split her head open. And I thought,
I saw that.
You saw that?
Did you see the IKEA video?
Yeah, those fucking little pricks going into IKEA and taunting all the people in IKEA, jumping up and down on the beds when they beat Sweden. That sort of stuff wouldn't happen in Croatia, would it, Herman?
No. All things you said sound pretty wild. We are loud. We were happy. The main square was full of people. Everybody was really happy, and it was absolutely joy to walk through the city after the match. I instantly went to my car, like 2 minutes after match, and I was driving through the city, going out to pick up my two friends, and I was pushing the horn so hard that it went off very soon, so I had to go to mechanics. It will be ready on Tuesday, which is horrible news, because it won't be ready for eventual, hopefully, winning the World Cup, which would be like a dream. But Croats are very, very emotional. And this is the, I would say, very patriotic, just because of the history, because the Croatia exists for like 28 years. We are a very young nation. A lot of people who are on the streets were actually in the war for independence. And this is some serious motivation for the players. I mean, when the war happened, I was 6, and I still remember times that you weren't sure what will happen tomorrow. You weren't sure if you are going to move to another state. And this also happened to the players. Luka Modric's grandfather was killed in this war, and they are pulling the strength even from these things. So they are very motivated, and absolute madness here in Croatia about this win and this final. Everybody is smiling on the streets. I saw the news in Croatia, which lasted like every time 45 minutes. Yesterday, 45 minutes of football, nothing else, only football, nothing about politics, economics. Everyone here are absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that's really good to say.
I just want to comment on that.
Feedback from somewhere.
Yeah, we're getting some feedback. That's okay.
Okay.
What I just wanted to say that there's been a lot made of the English and how making it to a semifinal has really brought the nation together. It's happening in Croatia as well. Clearly, I'm sure in France the country's rallying around their national team, and that's one of the beautiful things about the World Cup is that as a way of sort of abolishing everything else that's going on in a country, and it just stands still. And even in Canada, we're not a football nation. We've had so many people that don't even watch football taking in all the games, having an opinion on things. Sometimes it's not the best. I was talking at work about how many lines the teams have, clearly a reference to hockey, but it's just interesting how this sport can bring whole nations together and give folks some hope that their team can actually do it. And so, I mean, full credit to Croatia. I think Herman, I can't really speak to the history of that country, but seeing the local Croats here in town, and there's a huge population of them partying in the streets, celebrating. I mean, we're thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away from Russia. Seeing how it's just brought the community together, it's been fantastic. It's been really, really exciting World Cup. So just wanted to say that while in all the circles I run in, because we follow Arsenal, I see a lot about the English nationalism and patriotism that's come about from this World Cup. It's happening everywhere, and it's been awesome. It's been awesome to see, and it's unfortunate that we have to wait 4 years or 4.5 years, because I guess it's going to be in November for the next World Cup, and that also is a bit of a shame in that this is probably one of the last more pure World Cups that we're going to see. We've got a November World Cup in Qatar in 4 and a bit years, and then the following World Cup as well in Canada, Mexico, and the United States is going to have 48 teams. And I have really mixed emotions about that, because already I feel like the group stages are watered down a little bit with some teams that just really shouldn't be there or not talented. And the flip side, no disrespect to them, flip side to my previous point, those are nations that don't often have a lot to cheer about sporting wise. So good on them to see their country go to the World Cup. But 48 teams, I'm not sure how that's going to go. So, seeing this World Cup, one of the last, in my opinion, one of the last pure World Cups, I hope I'm wrong. It's been an absolute spectacle. Danny, I know there's some questions in the box, and I cut you off there. So why don't I give it back to you, because I think lots of people want to hear more from Herman and Lana.
You did fine. You probably saved me from embarrassing myself or showing a wonky.
I just made it up, Danny. Don't tell anyone,
so
okay?
Smooth, Jeff.
I just made it up.
If Sian could be bothered to get Sian's back, she's on the sofa. If she could be bothered, I'd get her to go and get my special OG mug. Ooh, and I'll fill it full of something in the Lana, have you had your say on the England-Croatia semi-final, and would you like to say anything about it?
I don't have much to say, actually. I would have preferred England solely just to crush them and never hear it's coming home again. I hate them so much. Like, oh my God. And people are like, oh, but it's just a joke. But it's not a funny joke. It's annoying. It's not coming home. England are going home. So I wanted them solely so, France could do it for Sweden. But Croatia just had to go and win. Thank you, Mandzukic.
Well, you can share. Is he going to stay at Juventus, do you think, now that you've got CR7?
It's insane. Can you believe that we signed Ronaldo? I don't even like the guy.
It's the only way you can make sure that if you meet Real Madrid in a Champions League final again, that he isn't going to ruin it for you. So
I'm so sick and tired of meeting them. I hope they never get to a Champions League final again.
Okay, right. We've got some. Echo's going to start saying something. Don't you dare! Shut up. Good. Right. We've got.
I don't know that one.
Because you're an idiot. That's why. Say the word. It's not even Alexa anymore. All right, we've got some comments and some questions. First one from Peter Coulson, is there? I don't remember him being are you quite new, Peter Coulson? Because I've seen you in the last few shows. He says, decent teams are and lost to both, talking about England. Colombia would have beaten England if they'd have cut out the shithousery and played the football they were capable of. And he also says, I hope Lukaku scores a hat-trick tomorrow so the Kane monster gets robbed of the golden boot. That's brilliant. Right, we have a question for Lana from Archie. He says, what is Lana's thoughts on Griezmann's comment about Courtois about the style of football during the match?
I loved it. I can't believe that we're accused of playing anti-football. What's funny is that, Champs played for Juventus and during the Ligby era and everything. So his style of play is taken from what he's learned at Juventus and also a lot from how the World Cup in 98 was played, you know, with tactics and everything. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's an anti-football game, which is kind of ironic considering that Courtois plays for Chelsea and was, training under Conte, so he can just shut the fuck up. But I loved the fact that we played defensively beautiful. We got the one goal we needed. And Griezmann, I have nothing to add to his comment because I thought it was, justified. I wish that someone would have come out and just be like, but you play for Chelsea. Should you even be allowed to make that comment? And if winning the World Cup by playing anti-football is the way, then sure. I've always maintained that in order to win trophies, you have to build from the back. You have to have a solid foundation in defense and goal before you can even try to aspire to win a trophy.
Oh, well done. You didn't call anyone a cunt in that entire sentence. Brilliant. Right, a question for you, Herman, from Peter Coulson. He says, do you think Nikola Kalinic will be watching the final or will he be too busy headbutting lampposts out of anger?
I'm not sure. I'm sure he will watch the final match. And I think that he's enjoying his vacation that started earlier than he thought. And that's it. I think he's a pretty happy person. He is important for himself and that's it. I just want to mention other topic since Lana happened, the funny thing. Did anyone of you notice or saw it later how England tried to score a goal while Croatia was celebrating?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
What was that all about?
That was so funny.
It was funny because Panama tried to do this against England, and while Croatians were celebrating behind the England goal, Rashford and Lingard took the ball and they started to run towards Subasic, and they even came with the ball into the box. And of course, it's not allowed. You have to wait the referee.
That's hilarious.
They should have been sent off just for being two major bitches.
But that is funny. But the funniest thing is that Rashford played the ball to Lingard, and that was completely legal. But then then Lingard passed the ball to Rashford, who was offside because none of the Croatian players were on their half. So even if it's allowed, it would be, at least through VAR, it would be disallowed because the pass was offside. And this is the hilarious
It would have been so funny if they scored and started celebrating and just be like, but oh, no.
No.
So embarrassing. Oh, my God.
I've got a question for you, Herman. David Beckham in, I think it was France 98, he was fouled by an Argentinian player and he's laying on the floor. We all know this one. Yeah. And as he's laying face down on the floor, he lifts the bomb from his knee, he bends his knee and he kicks the Argentinian player just a little bit. And for that, Beckham was hated by most of the English nation. I couldn't even imagine the amount of hatred an England player would get if he went, yeah, I'm not coming on in this game, and I was sent home from the World Cup. So how are the Croatian people treating the bloke who got sent home, whose name I've forgotten?
They don't treat him anyhow. They just we don't care about him. We're in the World
Will
Cup.
Will he get a medal?
Theoretically, he should get a medal, and it's funny to say, but some journalists are saying that he deserves a medal because he was a key player to win this qualifying match, a playoff against Greece. He was very good.
But he was a douche when he pulled a Tevez by not be like, I'm not coming on.
Yeah, but I don't know. We don't care. We're in a World Cup final.
You're in
a,
yeah.
He's like the last topic that he's talk about here. I'm okay if he gets a medal. Well done. He was good. He helped us to reach the World Cup. He did mistake in this World Cup to say that he's not coming on. But
okay, right. Question for all of you, and I'll start with OG from Hassan. He says in capital letters, "Who is the best and worst player of the tournament so far?" Have you got an answer for that, Jeff?
Oh, you want to come back to me? The best and the worst player?
Yeah. Anybody? Any of you got an answer?
Yes.
I'm gonna give you my worst player, and it's gonna be someone that a lot of people will disagree with, but I think Toni Kroos was awful for Germany. And despite him scoring against Sweden, he was directly at fault for a number of the problems that the Germans had. And it's hard to isolate one player, but you know, for a guy who's so good. To stink up the joint that badly, I'm gonna go Toni Kroos. I'm sure people will roast me alive for that. But you can come back to me for best. I'll think about that for a second.
No surprise that Lana has a player that she dislikes immensely. Go on, Lana, surprise everyone.
Toni Kroos was my second. Neymar was my first. I thought he was a horrible.
Who?
He was supposed to, Neymar. He was supposed to be the star that led Brazil to a potentially sixth World Cup title. But he spent more time on the floor rolling around like a little bitch instead of just playing football. Like, what's the deal with that?
I agree with Lana. I agree totally with Lana there. That I didn't even think of Neymar. I'm going to change my answer.
Herman, have you got some?
Am I allowed to say Mesut Ozil?
Yeah, he was my third.
Go on, yeah. So he's your worst. Who was? Do you want to give a reason for that, or do you think it's obvious?
It's obvious, especially Jeff's mentioned Toni Kroos. You can pick any German player because the disappointment that they gave to their nation losing to South Korea. It's
that was so funny.
And as much as we hate Son because he plays for Spurs, that was my favourite goal of the World Cup when Neuer playing left wing. Yeah, the second one. And he would have been in. I want to know at what point in his head did he go, I'm offside? Oh, no, I'm not. I'm in my own half. I can't be offside. Off we go. Let's go score a goal. He should have done some kind of spectacular, gone down on all fours and nodded it in with his head. Something really unsportsmanlike. But,
yeah, but I especially like the first goal because it was a VAR decision. And everybody of Korean players was standing in the middle and the referee came and he showed this. And he showed to the center spot and they were like crazy or like the goal happened, it did happen theoretically in that second, but it was like the whole world exploded.
Okay, so I agree with whoever said that Neymar. I think Neymar has got everything it takes to be one of the greatest players of his generation, and he's ruining it all by being a diving little shit. And I know the culture of football in South America is it's seen as a kind of art. If you can trick the referee and you can get your free kicks and your penalties, but that's not what we do in Europe, and that's not what you should do at the World Cup. And like when Chris sends us half-naked pictures of him standing on a rock, we all go, you're better than that. There's no need to do it. So now, can we move on to best player? Jeff, who's going to be your... Did you say your favourite player?
No, but I've had a bit of a think about it. I think I've probably got a draw on two players and maybe the final decides it. For me, it's either Modric or Mbappe for the impacts that they've had on their team. I'm sure people, again, will disagree with me, but Mbappe, for the way he's played at the highest level on the world stage, he's shown no sign of nerves. You know, you're talking about his PSG teammate Neymar absolutely fluffing his lines this tournament. He's showed a fearlessness in attack. He's had a confidence on the ball. He had that little double step over to line up Giroud last game. I thought he's been absolutely superb. So it could be him, depending on how he does on Sunday. Modric, I think, has been fantastic for Croatia. Got to be considered one of the top center midfielders in the world for me. He keeps the tempo going for that team. When he wants to, he can slow the ball down. He quickens it up. His distribution's fantastic. The packing stat, I think we've talked about that before, packing stat, where you bypass players on the other team with your forward balls. His packing stat's got to be off the charts. I mean, he's just a fantastic player. So fun to watch. So for me, those are the two, and maybe Sunday decides it.
Lana, is it possible for you to like a player? Do you want to have a stab at it? Yeah. I don't mean literally stab, for fuck's sake. Don't kill anyone, but do you want to have a go?
Yeah, I love my Leon babies. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. For me, I agree with Jeff. It's between... I think that Mbappe just takes it and, you know, just edges it over, mostly due to the fact that he's so young. He, you know, everyone went into those World Cups saying that, you know, Pogba and Griezmann were going to lead them. They were like the main stars. But it's turned out to be a 19-year-old kid that has an entire nation's hopes and dreams on his shoulders. And he hasn't looked, you know, frazzled or anything by it. It's like it just encourages him to do so much better, and it reminds me so much of 98 with his celebration, you know, the Turam celebration, and just seeing how I'm sorry
was that in the semi-final?
But it's such an iconic celebration, and for him to do it, it's just, you know, just paying an homage to probably one of the greatest defenders of all time. If so, for me, he just slightly just edges it for me. But
Lana, is this the celebration like this?
Yeah.
But I think Turam did like this. He was like,
yeah, but he's done that one as well. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring up painful memories for you. You can bring up 2006 if you want. It's fine. I'm semi peeled by it.
I'll wait for my revenge in following day.
Oh, it's fighting.
But you're winning, so you know there's no revenge if I'm already, you know.
God bless your words.
I'm unrealistically
pessimistic.
Yes.
Herman, who's your you can have the whole of the Croatia team if you want, or you can just pick one player.
I have to agree with Lana and Jeff. It's between Mbappe and Modric, and we will see in the final what will happen.
Okay, I'm gonna. I know I shouldn't really pick one, but I've been really impressed by the goalkeepers at this tournament. The Iranian goalkeeper I thought was absolutely magnificent, and I think Jordan Pickford. That bloke has everything that the England team need to go on and be the England number one goalkeeper for maybe 15 years, something like that. Absolutely magnificent. And
how old is he?
I think he's 20, 21, 19. He's so
young. Yeah, you're
so
set
young.
For nearly the two next decades, probably. They can go on to play for, their 36, 7?
Yeah. So if he goes full Buffon, he'll be playing in the World Cup for England when I've got grandchildren, hopefully. If he pulls a finger out. No, she's not interested. Doesn't know what it is. Right, so a couple of other comments. We're going to finish this on the hour. Right, we had one for... one for you, Lana, from Mike. He says, Tolisso or Matuidi in the final, and Pogba and Matuidi bottled it against Portugal. Ooh, what's your thought on that?
No comment? No, I'm just kidding. I don't think we should change the midfield. I think it should be as it is. As I mentioned earlier, as Jeff mentioned as well, if Pogba keeps it clean, you know, it's hard to beat that midfield 3-0, whatever my feelings towards Kante is. I think that Tolisso is more than good enough to start. But unfortunately, we probably have some of the best, you know, talents coming through. Currently have some of the best midfielders in that France squad. And it's so hard for him to, you know, become a first starter. Obviously, he's done a great job at even being picked, coming on, more than we can say for, you know, Florent Thauvin, who had a great season in League One, but is barely played for France. But for me, I wouldn't change anything. But looking forward, obviously, you'd hope to see Tolisso being a starter. I don't know. I'm just so nervous. Like, my nerves are all over the place. So I don't want to say too much. Otherwise, I'm afraid I'm going to jinx something or someone.
Go ahead.
No, shut up. You're winning anyway.
Okay, well, I'm just reading. We've got a question here from Archie for Herman. He says, do you think some Croatian players like Brozovic, Kovacic, Persic are better off playing in a big club? It feels like they are happy to be content at their current clubs.
There are big clubs.
Well, Inter Milan for two of them, I think.
It's Real Madrid for Kovacic, so I think that Archie is going in a direction that they maybe don't play enough, especially Kovacic. But Kovacic mentioned that he wants to leave Madrid. He's three seasons there, and he needs to play more, so I completely agree with
you. Juve opens their arms. He is more than welcome. We're selling Marquisio. He can come. Come, we have Ronaldo.
We will see. And I wanted to mention, I've noticed that Archie asked me about Brozovic, and he is a defensive midfielder. He did play for Inter as a right winger and even offensive midfielder. But he had some talks with the coach, and he said to the coach, I'm most comfortable in a position of defensive midfielder. And actually, 15 last games for Inter, he played in the position of defensive midfielder. He was great there, so I'm expecting that he will be, from now on, forever defensive midfielder.
Okay, good. Right. Now we're going to go on to your predictions for the final. We start with you, OG. Some wise words, please.
Okay, well, I'm sorry if I jinx anyone here, but I think France takes us 2-1. I'm sorry, but I do. And I'm actually going to make a bold prediction. I think Giroud's going to score in the final. Only because I'm an Arsenal fan and because I'm irrational sometimes. But he's had a way of showing up in FA Cup finals. I don't think it's going to be a clean game. I think we'll see Croatia is going to battle. I'm not expecting them to roll over at all. I think that they've got all the talent and it could go either way. But I'm going to go with the 2-1 Giroud.
Okay, Lana, what's your thoughts on the final?
I had a dream about this last night. I had a dream that first half was 0-0. It's like tons of chances. I played out the entire final in my dream. And second half, Modric and Matuidi goes off with an injury. And Tolisso comes on. And I remember who comes on for Croatia. And then Mandzukic scores. And then Giroud scores in the dying minutes. Then it goes on to extra time. And then we go to penalties, where Griezmann misses a penalty and Croatia win 5-4. So, I woke up crying. That was like, I genuinely was so upset that I actually cried a lot. And when I came to work, everyone wondered why I had such puffy eyes. And I said that I just had the worst nightmare of my life. Well, next to 2006. So, yeah, that is probably my answer.
Well, your dreams are better than mine. No word of a lie. I had a dream last night. I was in bed. One of my friends came in my bedroom and he stood there and he had no arms. That was my dream. I've got no idea.
I had your dream instead.
I remember saying to them, where have your arms gone? And they just went, that's all I remember. Herman, please save me. What's your thoughts on the final?
I don't know. It's a tough one to predict. I guess the result against Argentina. And that was an incredible guess. And now I will say 3-2 Croatia.
Oh, fuck my life. Okay. Mandzukic, the last minute scores. Oh, God.
If you want so many details, like in your dreams, we can say that Mandžukić will score two goals and one will be added by Ante Rebić.
Oh, shit.
Well, that's a prediction.
I am literally so nervous. Like...
Well, my prediction is I think France are going to win it, but it's going to be a close game. But I want Croatia to win it. But there again, I want Olivier Giroud to get something because he's still an Arsenal man inside. Apparently, Pickford is 24. He just looks 12. Oh, yeah, he does. He looks like he doesn't even shave yet or gone through puberty.
My favorite thing about Pickford is when you lip read him saying, "Fook, fuck you." You can tell he's got quite an accent.
There is a video of him where he says, "Fuck off" to one, I think, one of the Swedish players. And it was so fun because he just like runs away afterwards.
It's just sad for me because there's so many promising, really good England players in that squad, but they're now gonna be plagued with all the Spursy players. And I thought we'd got past the previous players I hated and I wouldn't support for England: Rio Ferdinand, Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, Wayne Rooney. Those fuckers ruined the last 15 years for me. And I thought, we're through it now. I can sort of get behind the team again after the days of Teddy Sheringham and all those nonsense. Yes.
Can you please check the question from Loki73?
Oh, hold on a sec. I'm just going to go and Loki. How did he... Loki73 says, how did he open the door, Danny? Well, he may well have come through. I've got two cat flaps in the house because we've got the Asbo cat that attacks my cat. So I've got a cat flap in the front door and the back door. So maybe somehow... I think it might well have been Rob. My brother's got it. Rob.
How did he stand up then if he went to the pass where cats go?
I don't look at the small details. I just look at the bigger picture.
Lana, can you explain this maybe?
Maybe he sat down on his ass and used his, you know, feet.
It's scuttled. Yeah. Or maybe the front door
was
open.
But then how does he get up?
Actually, my front door, you've got a handle that you pull down, and when Sean it goes out, we don't lock the front. We don't have to, I live in a lovely village. We don't have to lock the front door around here. So he could have opened it with his mouth. Right, so some of the stuff that people have put in here. Hassan Love has put France 2, Croatia 0. Peter Coulson has said France 3, Croatia 0. An utter walkover, Frenchies. Loki73 has put France will win 3-2, Giroud hat-trick. Chris Lodato from the ABW FIFA team, he says 3-1 France, Griezmann scores first. Hassan says France wins. Sorry, Havoyer.
Danny, that was very good.
I know. I just remember the last bit is yay because last time we hear you wrote it and I cut and pasted it into the chat box. So I could, but now I'm just going on memory. Michael says 1-0 France. Oli G to clear. Oh, here we go. Pete Coulson has now put want France to win just for Oli G and cheer Arsenal up 3-0 France. And any other predictions? Oh, lazy Python. God, typical Python. Very lazy. Saved it to the end. Croatia 2, France 1 in extra time.
Oh, piss off.
Anyone else got any more predictions? Because we have been going for 1 hour and 2 minutes. So you've got about 30 seconds to put your predictions in the chat box and I'll read them out. As usual, if you like us, give us a thumbs up. If you don't, give us a thumbs down. If you click subscribe, then go and click on that little bell thing. And then I think someone said at the beginning of the show that the bell thing, I think it was Archie, said the bell thing does work. Oh, here we go. Big Daddy, the victorious, vicarious yank. 3-2 either way. That doesn't count. Archie says on penalties.
Oh, God, no. I cannot stomach another penalty. I'm still not over 2006.
I can. I'm used to it.
Oh, piss off.
Right. Oh, here we go. Cayman 1867 has put Belgium 3, England 0. Well, there you go. I think that's what we all. Bradley Tucker 2-0 win for France. Right. Oh, the bell does work, says Peter Coulson. Very useful. Yes. If you give that little bell a little tickle, give it a little massage to them. Whenever we go live, it should send you out a little notice saying, "Oi, these Muppets are doing something. Come and join in." So now I'm going to say thank you very much to Lana for joining us and good luck to France tomorrow, weekend, Sunday.
Sunday, thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks to Mr. Herman. Thank you very much for joining us and good luck to Croatia on Sunday.
Thank you for having me. I just want to use the opportunity to leave 5 seconds of Croatian commentator after winning against England. I will. Lana, I will send you the rest if you're interested.
So. No, thank you. I'll send you the Turan video from 1984.
Oh, Jeff. Jeff, it's kicking off. I'm scared.
Oh, no, it's probably good to cut it out.
I'm coming to Croatia in August. Be ready.
I know where you're coming.
Anyway, Jeff, thank you very much for joining us. Second time lucky, and say hello to the builders for us.
Yeah, now, hey, don't forget, Danny, before we go, we've got an ABW birthday today.
Go on in.
Yeah, so the shipbeard himself, John Welsh, celebrating his 51st birthday today.
51 today.
Yeah, 51, the magic number. The great thing, I think he's spending time out playing Magic the Gathering. So good luck to you, John. Hope you pack some sweet sorcerers and weird shit like that.
Yeah.
And happy birthday, pal.
Yeah, and then he's off to have 51 barmaids to celebrate on his birthday cake.
what a legend.
Right, so thank you to everybody in the chat box. There's only about 20 or 30 of you there today, but this isn't really Arsenal stuff, and that's what we're all here for. And after Sunday, it'll be back to the wonderful world of being an Arsenal fan with a new manager, loads of new players. Transfer deadline day is going to be pointless, but it's your chance to come on. We're going to do maybe 4 to 5 shows during the day, and then we're going to get 3 or 4 people on, listeners on, for each one, and you can just come on, talk about the transfer window stuff so far, your expectations for the upcoming season. So it's not really going to be keeping an eye on the transfer thing, see if we bought anyone, because we're probably not going to end up with anybody. So if you want to do that, message us at the AFC podcast, or you can email us at abirdcatwonderland@gmail.com. If you find out where I live, you can come and knock on the door and shout through the letterbox. Good luck doing that. So all you need to do is have Google Hangouts, and you need to have a laptop or a PC and a headset or earbuds. But what you cannot do is come on with a mobile phone. Just hold the phone in front if you like this, because with no kind of other stuff, because that quality is just going to ruin it for everybody. So, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. This has been a Birdcamp Wonderland, a Krabby John special. Happy birthday, John. Goodbye.